You're listening to The Larry Fedoruk Show on News Talk 610 CKTB and online at 610CKTB.com.
One of the biggest icebergs on record has broken away from Antarctica. 1 trillion ton iceberg. Can you fathom that? I can't quite. 5,800 square kilometers? Okay, I get an idea. That's about the size of Prince Edward Island? Wow. Our guest was there. Associate scientist at University of Wisconsin-Madison and faculty at Madison Area Technical College, Dr. Matthew A. Lazara, joining us. Hello, Dr. Lazara.
Hello. Good to be with you.
Thank you for coming on about this, a story I'm fascinated with and watching over these last few weeks. You were in Antarctica recently?
My team goes to Antarctica every year. I've been, in the last 20 years, I've been to Antarctica about nine times.
Nine times. And when did this actually break away? I remember the story last week when it was sort of made official, if you will.
Yeah, it was made official on the 13th of July when the National Ice Center, that's the group that's responsible for kind of really monitoring and watching the behavior of this, announced that they had officially labeled the iceberg. But it took place basically on that around that date.
And I know there's probably a lot of science involved here, but how can you tell that it's officially broken away?
Great question. It's satellites. The fact that we can have satellites that fly over the area and actually monitor the actual calving taking place. There's a very large rift that opens up between the main part of the ice shelf and the iceberg. And when you can start to see that completely, go all the way around where the iceberg is finally formed, that's when you know it's completely detached from the main ice shelf that's a part of the Antarctic continent.
By the way, would it make a noise?
There are lots of ice quakes that go on, and I suspect it's been making noise because this crack has been forming for decades. And all along, I'm sure it has. I'm sure in its final detachment, there's probably a little bit of something, but otherwise, it could be just silently just going on off as it goes.
Well, and a lot of people said this thing's going to break away, and then, in a couple of weeks, it's on the coast of Newfoundland, and people are watching. But that's not the case. It's not moving yet, as I understand.
It's slow, right? This is tremendously, as you've already mentioned, the dimensions, it's tremendous in size. So because of that, it's kind of stuck like a semi-parked, parallel-parked car. And so it's kind of bumping up into the ice shelf in front of it, a little bit behind it. It's going to take a little while to get out of position before it really can get out and further into the Southern Ocean. So it's going to take a while before it gets too far.
So it's the Larsen C ice shelf. There's a Larsen A and a Larsen B and a Larsen C. Is there more than that, by the way?
It continues down into some smaller pieces further to the south. Larsen C is the biggest section of the Larsen ice shelf. And, of course, the other two that you mentioned, of course, were well known for prior either iceberg calving or collapse, which occurred in the past. So in the early 2000s, we had Larsen B basically look like a piece of shattered glass when it deteriorated some, and then Larsen A deteriorated back in the 1990s.
So something that just occurred to me now, and pardon the silly question, but so is Antarctica any Earth at all? Is it tundra at all, or is it all ice, or just...
Oh, no, it is... It's a continent that's just covered in tons of ice.
Covered, right.
And so here, especially in the Antarctic Peninsula where this is located, the Antarctic Mountains are, the trans-Antarctic Mountains are really quite discernible. But the ice is quite thick on it, and it actually kind of pushes down on the continent, depresses it a bit into the crust of the Earth because there's so much ice there. But there really is actual land there.
So this is just ice. This is just the ice shelf and a part of it breaking away.
That's right, and it's floating, was already floating on the ocean, and so it is indeed just a part of that shelf that's now detached and calved back. That is correct.
So as you heard me say, in Canada, we say it's the size of Prince Edward Island. What else can we say? 5,800 square kilometers.
So it's kind of like, let's see, if you were to go partway from the western edge of Lake Ontario to the center of the lake, that's how long it is to give you that kind of length.
Wow.
In the other direction, it's literally the going from the north shore to the south shore of Lake Ontario. So that's how large it is for a piece that's come apart. It's not the largest iceberg that we've had. We've had some bigger ones, but not very many have been larger, just a few.
And it's one of these things where, is it true that only, one-fifth of it is visible then?
Yeah, icebergs are kind of interesting because the density of ice is such that it does float. like an ice cube in your glass that you would have right now in a glass of water. And so there's you go home and you put a single ice cube into a glass of water, you'll notice only a small portion of it will show off the top, and then quite a bit more is below. So, you know, there's maybe just that little bit that's showing off the top. It's still significant. You know, if you were to sail a ship past it, it would be as tall as the crow's nest on the icebreaker, perhaps. But there is significantly more ice below, and it's variable underneath. A little bit less as you get towards the edge, and it's more as you get further towards the back of the iceberg where the calving's taking place.
Well, if we use the ice cube analogy, sometimes the ice cube will flip in my glass, or it'll do things on its own as it's melting. Does that happen to icebergs?
So this is such a large piece, and therefore it's going to be influenced heavily by the ocean. It will end up succumbing to some of those stresses and probably, possibly, break up into other smaller parts. We'll be curious to watch to see if we're going to just see little bits break off of it, or if we'll actually see it, for example, one of the larger icebergs that almost broke in half. And so that's possible, because it is, you know, the ice being fairly rigid and such a long, 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 long distance, it will end up succumbing to those kinds of forces and break like that.
If it starts to break up and even melt, people say that the water levels of the ocean will rise. I don't quite understand that, because isn't the same volume displaced by the ice causing a level of water as it would if it was in liquid form?
Exactly. So you're right. Since ice shelves already displace an amount of water, they contribute very little to sea level rise.
All right.
What is unknown in to us is going to be how will the rest of the ice shelf react now that it's missing this big piece in the front. Will we start to see the ice shelf grow further? Will the glaciers that did contribute to the ice shelf, will they start to flow faster? That would, if it took place, contribute to sea level rise, but that's still to be determined. But otherwise, no. This particular event that we're seeing here is not contributing to the actual rise.
All right, so you're not going to be oceanfront at the University of Wisconsin very soon, or anything?
Not yet.
Not because of this, anyway. Well,
not because of this, no, but there's a lot of other things that are afoot that would get us there, but not this particular event.
Now, speaking of that, I've heard conflicting reports on this is because of climate change. No, it's not.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, ice shelves, if they were to, because they always are having, ice always over the Antarctic continent is always moving. Most folks don't think about it that way, but it really does. It snows, the ice accumulates, and then it slowly flows off the, off the continent through these glaciers down into the ice shelves, and then they calve off icebergs. Sometimes very small ones, like you would think Titanic size, and then big, huge ones, these tabular icebergs, which is the name of these kind here. To maintain an ice shelf to be in equilibrium, it should calve off a big iceberg every maybe 50 to 100 years, something like that. And we've only had satellites around for a little less than that have been really equipped well to monitor this. So we've not really had a chance that much to notice it. And only in the last, 20 years we've really been able to witness some tremendous tabular calving of icebergs. We watched some in the 2000s and the 2002 time frame, and now here. That's what makes it hard to know. Is it totally climate change related? Not completely, because the ice shelves need to maintain themselves. But if this natural occurring expected equilibrium event took place, does the fact that we have change going on now make us more vulnerable to other changes that could influence us? That's the question to be revealed.
Is anything possible to be alive in there that, say, once it melts and it's in another part of the world, it changes the ecosystem of that part of the world?
The iceberg itself?
Yeah.
This is a slow, ice is never quick. It's a slow-moving thing. And so as it goes through this, it's going to take a long time. I mean, even the icebergs that I mentioned to you that broke up on the order of 15, 17 years ago, those are still running around in the ocean, still going through their process of decay and melt. Mm. So this will be the same. It won't be very quick, and it will take a bit of time
to see what else might come of it, I guess. Yeah. No. So of all the places you travel as a scientist, tell me about Antarctica. Is it the most exciting because of its remoteness, or what would you say?
It's pretty. It's really a gorgeous place. The Transantarctic Mountains are just breathtaking. I've been to some, my main project in the Arctic is we have automatic weather stations that run all over the continent. And some of the places where we have the opportunity to be observing the local surface weather, when you're out there and no one is you know, making a lot of noise, it's one of the most quiet places I've ever been on the planet, where the only sound you might have when there's no wind and no one moving around is just your heartbeat. And that's something you really don't experience here in the mid-latitudes very often, if at all.
I would say not. Wow, that sounds amazing. Dr. Lazara, thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Matthew A. Lazara, Associate Scientist at University of Wisconsin-Madison and faculty at Madison Area Technical College, has visited this Larsen C ice shelf in Antarctica, where this 1 trillion metric ton iceberg, 5,800 square kilometers, the Prince Edward Island in ice, has just broken away. My brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a hawk.